Good morning and welcome to one more in a series of audio booths designed to explore the campaign of John Gilroy, parliamentary candidate from the Irish Labour Party, campaigning to get elected in the Cork North Central constituency. John, it's 6 days since I last interviewed you to find out what you've been up to. It's now day 10 of the election campaign. What are the high points of what you've been doing in the meantime?
Morning, Paul. I can hardly believe it's 6 days because every day seems to have blurred into the next. The campaign is up to 100% and has been for since Christmas, really. We've been extraordinarily busy. We're working probably 14, 15 hours a day at this. The most important part of any campaign, in the short campaign, is canvassing door to door. Our research has shown us that recently that 53% of people expect their politicians to call to their door.
And there are an awful lot of undecided voters in Ireland at the moment, I hear.
Yeah, well, there are. And even some of the voters who have indicated a preference in opinion polls still remain to be convinced. Like, we know that 40% of Fine Gael voters who have said they'll vote Fine Gael are likely to vote Labour. And we do know that 30% of our supporters are likely to vote for another party as well. There's the research that's coming out from the Sunday Business Post. It's very interesting. So it shows the volatility of the electorate and it shows that there's everything to play for. Fine Gael published a report, well, leaked a report is a better way, to the Evening Echo, an opinion poll that they had. It's about 3 weeks old, which is showing Kathleen Lynch at 20% of the vote. That's a quota. Other media commentators are saying that the only sure thing that can be said about Cork North Central is that Kathleen Lynch will take a seat. All the other three seats are up for grabs. And that's rather remarkable in Cork North Central, because traditionally Cork North Central has been seen to be a very conservative and unchanging constituency. So in 1997, Fianna Fáil returned with 3 seats out of 5 here, and 14 years later, there's a good bet that they'll come back with no seats at all here.
So the impression I'm getting is that you feel you're in with a fighting chance of getting 2 seats in this constituency. Is that right?
If you'd asked me 6 months ago, Paul, if we'll take 2 seats here, I would say probably not. If you'd asked me today, I would say probably are. Now, it's going to be a struggle, and we'll need a good gale behind us on this, but it's there for us, Paul, and we can take the second seat.
Well, look, let me switch you out of the local area for a minute into a kind of national arena. Look, you're going to have to prove to people that a local councillor is capable of conducting yourself in the Dáil, capable of helping the development of policy and putting forward ideas. Now, how are you looking after that? If you're going door to door, convincing people locally to vote for you, what are you actually doing to persuade them that you're actually a politician of national standing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul, and it's an unusual election in that regard. It's my 8th election campaign been involved in, both national and local. It's my first time standing for as a candidate, but I've been involved in 3 other general elections, centrally involved. And generally, during elections, local issues make up about 50% of the issues that come up on the doorstep. On this occasion, Paul, 90% of the issues that are being brought up are national issues. People are dreadfully worried about the state of the economy, about their own personal lives, their own jobs, their own houses, their own family, immigration. These are huge things.
These are topics you're going to have to be able to prove yourself able to speak on.
Well, absolutely, Paul. There's no question about that. I mean, the Labour Party policy in regard to all these issues is robust. Some commentators were saying in the past that the Labour Party don't have policies, but that's just lazy. That's just lazy thinking. Well, the Labour Party policies are complex and sophisticated to deal with complex and sophisticated issues, and they're not really amenable to the soundbites. I'll just give you an example. We hear of Sinn Féin coming up with this populist stance of burn the bondholders. That's a lovely soundbite, and of course everyone would love to burn the bondholders, but the consequences of doing just that, Paul, would mean that in the morning, if we burn the bondholders, and I'm saying tomorrow morning your mortgage becomes due, your savings are wiped out, the ATM machines won't work in 6 months' time, our hospitals and schools will start closing, there'll be no money to pay public servants, there'll be no money in the country. So while it's a nice soundbite to say burn the bondholders, the consequences of that are absolutely awful. Now, what the Labour Party is saying on this, and Eamon Gilmore was challenged the other night on the leaders' debate by Micheál Martin, it's Frankfurt's way or Labour's way. Well, that's the way it has to be. Labour are going to be in government, and Gilmore could easily substitute the word Labour's way for Ireland's way. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are saying that the bailout terms cannot be renegotiated. If they're not renegotiated, Paul, do you know what will change? Nothing will change. It looks like they have thrown down their weapons at the first shot and raised the white flag rather quickly. We're saying here that the bailout has to be renegotiated, Paul. There is no question. If we are a sovereign nation, which I hope we still are, we are in control of our own destiny. We have to make the argument that the bailout can be renegotiated. And by virtue of the fact that you make the argument, it changes the argument. And there's an interesting thing this morning. Brian Lennon, the finance minister, said that he's not putting any more money into AIB until after the election. Well, it was central to the bailout conditions that money would go in. And Brian Lennon has said all along that the terms and conditions can't be changed. Now he's saying they can be changed, and he's demonstrating that they can be changed. So the argument that Fianna Fáil are making that the terms and conditions can't be changed is just dishonest. They've fallen into a bad deal, Paul. They were outfoxed in the negotiations. They agreed too hastily. They're a government under pressure without popular support, no mandate to negotiate this. Their negotiating position was weak, and they've worked out a bad deal. So, yes, Paul, it has to be renegotiated.
And all this stuff about bondholders and renegotiating and everything like that, that's really complex stuff for voters to try to tease out for themselves. On what basis are voters going to make up their mind in this election, do you think?
Well, information is everything, and the very first thing we need to be is honest with our electorate. Very often politicians put a shine on the story to suit their own agenda, and people are now wise to that trick. The idea of making political promises to people on the doorstep now has been met with ridicule. For instance, one of my opponents, I won't name him, he's an auctioneer, and he said that he's promising a hospital for the north side of Cork City. Like me, you, and the dogs on the street know there's going to be no new hospital built, Paul. And when I'm hearing this on the doorsteps, people are throwing their eyes up to heaven. They're laughing at the thought of a political promise that we build a hospital in the middle of the worst recession in the history of the state. So what we need to be with people is honest. There is a lot of pain to suffer. There's more to come, I'm afraid. Anyone who makes promises that will give comfort to people to say we'll reverse these cutbacks or we'll make things better financially for you, only cutting people, Paul. Things are bad. People will accept these cutbacks if they're seen to be fair. And I'll give you an example of that, Paul. In the last budget, if you earn €200,000 a year, you are now €12,000 better off after the last budget. If you earn €40,000 a year, you are now €4,000 less well off after the last budget. That's not fair, Paul. That's just not fair. Those with the most must contribute the most.
So is your central plank then to say that Labour is fair and Fianna Fáil, for example, is not fair?
I wouldn't say it in those terms, Paul. I wouldn't say Fianna Fáil are not fair, but there's a perception that they're not. A lot of their policies are just not thought out. They're not thought out properly. I'll give you a good example now. We were canvassing in the Ballyvillan area yesterday, and I met a fella. He's home from America. He went off to America, he told me, in the 1980s. And he came home on holidays rather, you know, a good bit, but he's home now on holidays. And he's particularly interested in Irish political affairs now because he's hearing the American side of the story. But he was watching the leaders' debate between Eamon Gilmore and Micheál Martin the other day, and he said to me, I was really impressed with Micheál Martin. And I swear, yeah, that's interesting. Why? And he says, God, he's so fresh and new. And he said, wouldn't it have been great if Micheál Martin and that type of politics that he's talking about was at the centre of government for the last 14 years? And I said, hold on a minute. I said, Micheál Martin was the senior minister for the last 14 years. And he said, oh, he was not. I can't believe that. So here we have a reinvention of Micheál himself. A man who, remember we spoke about him in a previous audio, indecisiveness and hesitant and really not making any impact in any of the ministries that he held. And he's held all the senior ministries in government for the last 14 years. And all of a sudden, he changes. I like people to evolve in their thinking, but this is a radical throwing baby and out with the bathwater. So this is the kind of stuff, Paul, that adds to the cynicism of Irish public life. And what we have to do is try and break through that cynicism. People are saying to me on the doorstep that all politicians are the same. And we're saying, no, it looks like that. Certainly it is difficult to make the argument that we're not all the same. But as soon as you can actually break through that first veneer of cynicism, people do engage with us, Paul. And when people start engaging, they certainly have sophisticated views on everything that's happening in the country. It's not like they're passive recipients of politics. These are agents of politics in their own right, who have views and opinions and want to be heard. And there is a great feeling out there that nobody's listening to the electorate.
And look, let's shift away from the doorsteps and what you're hearing on the canvas there. What else have you been doing in the last few days, and what's coming up in your campaign now?
Okay, last Tuesday, Paul, I was involved in the national launch of the Labour Health document. I had a very minor input into that, I can tell you, but I'm a psychiatric nurse, as you know, and I had some input into the mental health side of that policy.
Yeah, I heard your name mentioned on the Labour Party audio boo launching that policy.
Yeah, we were in Dublin, that was on Tuesday. But something that's coming up now next Sunday, Paul, I wrote a policy paper myself, researched and wrote it over the last 12 to 18 months about community development, and submitted it to the Labour Party just before Christmas. And amazingly and gladly for me, it has been accepted as Labour Party policy, being launched next Sunday in Dublin. I think, as far as I can see, it's the first time that the parliamentary party of any party has accepted policy from a local politician. So to answer your question is, what can I do nationally as opposed to locally? Well, this is one thing that I've certainly managed to do, is formulate policy and have it accepted by the party. Another point, Paul, to address that is...
Before we go on to any other point, look, I'd like to come back to you the next time I talk to you and delve into that policy, because if you're one of the very first, if not the very first local councillor to have formulated a policy for your national party, that is of some significance, I think, and worth a little bit more interrogation.
That's great, Paul, and I'd be very happy to do that. We can meet now in the next couple of days, maybe before Sunday, and I'll tell you a little bit about it, and maybe after Sunday we can have another chat and see how the launch went.
Okay. John Gilroy, thank you again very much for this morning.
Thanks very much,
Paul. All the best.
Thank you.